All right, hey, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. May 18th, 2026. Beautiful day here on the east side of the country. It is hot. It's a hot one this morning. Great weekend. Great few weeks. I don't even know when the last time I did the podcast. I know it's been at least a week. But yeah, beautiful day. It did say we are headed on a warm-up, and it's officially warmer today. It is hot. So welcome to summer. Hope everyone's enjoying it. I thought I would come upstairs, see if we could put something together. This is that time of year, man. It's just everything is just going along just fine, right? All good. Hitting on all eight cylinders. Not a lot of complaints. Any problems that I have or had. Analyze the hell out of them, figure it out, play my part, you know, all of that stuff, yada, yada, yada. And so, you know, it sort of leaves me in a place where there's not much going on. But this is also the time where, you know, it's easy to start skipping a few meetings, taking a little break. Summer is definitely a time of things to do. You know, it's easy. I won't say it's easy to stay sober in the winter because clearly winter has its own issues. Isolation, you know, loneliness and all these things. But summer tends to bring us out of it, bring me out of it, of course. And, you know, other things start becoming more important. And so, you know, it's just another phase of recovery. For me, it's just another part of a year, right? I'm not sitting around thinking about drinking. I feel pretty good. Very, very grateful that I am sober today. Very, you know, very lucky, blessed, all that stuff. But even more importantly, you know, headed towards serenity. And I can tell you a few of the things that's been going on, at least in my world, is character defects. You know, I work with a couple of newcomers, and we sort of started a little meeting, reading Drop the Rock. And then, of course, one of the local places that I go to for a meeting started doing a meeting for Drop the Rock. And so now it's just everything is about Drop the Rock and character defects and yada, yada, yada. And so, yeah, I've been focusing on a lot of character defects lately, and I'm still chock full of them. But it's better. I see it. You know, but we do the meeting, and then, of course, last week we had Mother's Day, so the meeting was canceled. And then, you know, one of the guys that I was sponsoring had, you know, decided to go to a different sponsor, which is great. That's fine. Ran into him at a meeting, I guess it was a couple weeks ago now, and had this discussion about, you know, just because he left to get a new sponsor doesn't mean that he doesn't or isn't allowed to come to our Drop the Rock meeting. He's like, oh my gosh, thank goodness. I really enjoyed the meeting. And I'm like, you know, dude. Course. And then, of course, we had Mother's Day, and then I got a text yesterday. I've been invited to go to breakfast, so I'm going to miss the meeting. And I was like, first of all, I'm sober. I feel good. I feel serene. You know, it says, having had the spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, my job now is to be there for the next alcoholic. And so I try to do these things pretty laid back, no rules, no, you have to be there. But unfortunately, the people that are, you know, I'm trying to do this for, including myself, right? Including myself, I get a lot out of this. But the people that I'm trying to do this with and for have had more important things to do. And I've just gotten a little bit, you know, it's exposing another character defect, right? It's either my way or the highway. And the one guy is like, I'm not going to be able to make it. I was invited to go out to breakfast. And it really kind of pissed me off. And so yesterday I have decided that I will not be doing that meeting anymore. Not because I am having a resentment and I'm having a tantrum of some sort. It's just not, you know, there's plenty of meetings for Drop the Rock. If somebody's interested in it, they can absolutely go to that meeting. I thought it would be fun. It's now becoming a little bit more complicated. And I'm starting to get, you know, a little slightly annoyed about it. And I don't really want to do that. And so I've said, we're not going to do that meeting anymore. Nobody's obligated to come to that. And, you know, all good, right? Awesome. But yeah, I don't know. I'm sort of like, you know, I'm not trying to make this into a problem because it really doesn't need to be. It still exposes that I do still have character defects. I'm very sensitive. And when I try to open up my time for other people and then they don't appreciate it, respect it, become aware of it, I don't know, whatever it is, I can get a little sideways about it. And like I said, I sent a text, don't worry about it. I'm not doing the meeting anymore. Enjoy. Go enjoy your life. And then of course, my one guy that I do sponsor, he still came over and I told him, you know, you and I can still meet if you want, but I'm not going to do this meeting anymore. I'm not doing this drop the rock meeting because it's just, you know, it's summer and I'm not going to get my feelings hurt over it. And honestly, it's all good. He was good. We actually had a nice chat, and then he went on his way, and we're all good. But the reality is that I still, you know, I'm not perfect. And that was one of my excuses yesterday, is like, I know my character defects. I'm familiar with dropping the rock. Right? I'm doing this for you guys. And I am. But at the same time, I love to read these things because I am not perfect, and I have a disease that tells me that I have it figured out, and I don't. And, you know, I follow a lot of these, you know, if you're on any sort of the social media, you know, sobriety is now a big thing. Or maybe it's because I'm sober that I get a lot of sober things in my feed. And, you know, someone's like, how long have you been sober? And I wrote, you know, whatever many days I said. But of course, that's not the last day that I told a lie, right? It's not the last day I cheated. You know, what I have most importantly is today. And because I swear I can be great yesterday and I can be off my rocker today. And so I just have to keep reminding myself. But I thought I might read this thing from As Bill Sees It. And, you know, I said this the other day in a meeting, you know, sobriety will not keep us sober. And of course, on page 227, it says, is sobriety enough? And it says the alcoholic is like a tornado roaring his way through the lives of others. Hearts are broken. Sweet relationships are dead. Affections have been uprooted. Selfish and inconsiderate habits have kept the home in turmoil. We feel a man is unthinking when he says that sobriety is enough. He is like the farmer who came up out of his cyclone cellar to find his home ruined. To his wife, he remarked, "Don't see anything the matter here, Ma. Ain't it grand the wind stopped blowing?" And we ask ourselves what we mean when we say that we have harmed other people. What kind of harm do people do one another anyway? To define the word harm in a practical way, we might call it the result of instinct in collision, which cause physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual damage to those about us. Yeah, I mean, it's the voices, right? It's the wolves, it's the spirits, it's these things, right, that sort of, I can, you know, speaking for myself, have become used to, right? Prior to getting sober, I had my own world, right? I had my own thoughts and feelings and wonders and in the way that I reflected and projected and had become quite used to living with fear. Fear had become my whole world. And, you know, you just become used to it. And so coming into recovery and then clearly, like me, you know, all I cared about was really that I was a drunk driver. If I could just not drink and drive, that would be, because that created a lot of fear. Anything that happened once I was under the influence behind a wheel was very scary for me. Because for one, you know, I could have 100 sets of rules prior to the drink, but once that vodka went in my mouth, all the rules went out the window. And that would be every day. You know, I'm like, God, if I drink tonight, I hope I, you know, let's not drive. It was a big rock that I was carrying around. And so to be free of that one thing was such a big deal that I was pretty content. But, you know, it's over time through the steps. And then I'm like, well, what's the point, right? Why? But it's eventually, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 years, whatever it is, 1, 2, 3 years, right? One of the guys I work with, he's, you know, he's going to one meeting a week or two meetings. And I'm like, and he's not even working. I'm like, you should be at a meeting every day. He's like, well, you know, why, right? And only a person who has gone through it, and I'll just say for myself, only a person like me who's gone through it, spent many years in recovery, and then absolutely unwound it all and drank, I'm familiar with it, right? And I'm, you know, I've said before, coming into the program as one bad choice, now I'm about 9. And what do those 9 bad choices look like, right? You know, telling these guys, I'm no longer doing this meeting on Sundays. Is that the beginning, right? Is that the beginning of the end? Or is that me just sticking up for myself? Is that me? Because, you know, there is probably a people-pleasing side of me. In fact, I guarantee there is a people-pleasing side of me that wants to be available and, you know, have no conditions, right? It's always, whatever you guys want to do, I'm here, right? And the problem is whatever they want to do isn't come there. They'd rather do other things. And then all of a sudden there's another facet of this, you know, sort of contract that I'm sort of putting out there, which is, but privately I'm going to be annoyed. And, you know, and I know better. I really do know better. And I really try to make it clear because honestly, I don't really have anything going on in the morning. It didn't change my morning at all yesterday. I actually got up, went for a little run. I cut the grass. We sat out in the garage. It's usually not a big deal. But I think maybe for me, the character defect is this idea that I actually know better and that I'm trying to refrain from saying it because it's not my business, especially with the guy that's like, yeah, I'm going to go out to breakfast. I don't sponsor him. Right. And that's the other thing, you know, I'm trying to, you know, I ran into him and he's like, you know, if you ever want to chat, I go, you know, if you'd like to still come to that meeting on Sunday, you're more than welcome. Of course, in his mind, he's like, well, you're not going to be my sponsor, so I probably am not invited to the meeting. And that's probably what I should have done. You know, you have a new sponsor. Go do work with your new sponsor. I can't, you know, I'm just trying to be available, right? I'm trying to be open. I'm trying to be here for whoever. And when he said he wasn't going to make it because he was going out to breakfast, I was annoyed. And I shouldn't be. And the reality is, and I think I've in a roundabout way made it clear that he's not welcome to the meeting anymore. I wasn't trying to, but I'm not doing the meeting anymore. Well, the other thing is, like I said, there's a meeting on Saturdays for Drop the Rock. So if someone's interested in that, go, you know, they can go there. I don't have to, you know, be the, you know, the guy that introduces everybody to all of their character defects. I will say one of the tough things about sponsoring people is I just don't know. You know, I've said before about, you know, you're going to New York. You know, it's nice to go to New York, but it's really nice when you go with somebody that knows the city. Problem is, when you go with people that know the city, they're like, don't go down there, right? Because I know the city. Don't go down there because it's not good. And they go anyway. They're like, go. And you're like, well, I'm also, you know, partially like, maybe it's not good for me. Maybe this person will try this and find something that they find enjoyable. So it's a twisted fucking puzzle thing. And, you know, it's not easy sponsoring people, and it's not easy, you know, giving suggestions and telling people what to do. I don't want to do that. You know, I just want to be sponsored and have serenity and go to meetings and, you know, be available if I can, but I can't save the world. And, you know, I'll still sponsor. I've been sponsoring a few guys for a while. And I'll still sponsor my M2, my buddy M2. But I'm getting a little, I think I'm running out of energy for sponsoring right now. And, but what is that, right? What is that? Is that, you know, one of the 9 steps that leads me to picking up a drink? Right, it's always these secret little things that start to happen that in my mind seem completely justified. But like someone said, there is no justified anger. There is no justified resentment. There's none of it. And so what does that mean? What, take on more sponsees? Work harder? I don't know. But I just feel a little out of sorts with the whole thing. And this happens, right? That's why I go to different meetings, and that's why, you know, you have to keep it fresh and you have to keep it moving. And, but there's only so many different things you can talk about and read about and chat about. And so, I don't know. I'm a little bit off the reservation about the whole thing. I am not going to be doing that meeting though anymore. I'm not going to, if people want to go to a Drop the Rock meeting, go to an official one. And maybe that's my fault. You know, I don't know. I didn't really want to start a meeting, but I was sponsoring 2 guys and they would come over in the morning and I'm like, well, why don't we read the book? Right. And then I invited that other guy and now we got 3 guys. And now I start to have expectations, you know, like, look at me, I'm providing here, I'm providing knowledge, and no one's recognizing it. And so I'm going to get a little annoyed. Character defect, right? So I don't know how that changes. I don't know if that ever changes for me. You know, I always will have expectations, unfortunately. And I think the problem for me is the lack of honesty, right? The reality is that I probably shouldn't do this because honestly, I'm going to have expectations. And if they're not met, as low as I try to keep them, I'll get my feelings hurt. And that's just not healthy. That is not that, because then it's about like fear, right? And fear starts showing back up. And the other thing that's annoying me is that the guy that I was sponsoring, who I'm not sponsoring anymore, he texts me every morning. So I'm like, good morning, have a blessed day. And I'm like, fucking stop texting me. What's my problem? I don't know. Let's see. He did text me this morning, of course, and I did not text him back. So we'll see what happens. I got work to do. Getting off the reservation a bit here. All right, let's see if this can give us some hope today. I'm going to a meeting at noon. I'm still also struggling with my father and his house, and I've got all these things. You know, we're going to put my dad's house up for sale. I'm fearful that I'm, you know, the right man for the job. Clearly, I'm not a real estate agent, so we have one. But, you know, it's definitely an adult thing, and I'm, you know, it's on my mind. And plus, there's a lot of closure and ending to a lot of my family, which, you know, you never are quite prepared for. Clearly, my mother passing, and now, and it's these freaking little things, man. It's like, you know, I can't keep everything. If you've gone through this with your parents, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't, ask your parents, please get rid of the stuff. Because every single thing I find is something that I remember, and it's a memory that's tied to this childhood and to this story. And there's a part of me that thinks if I don't keep it, I don't respect or appreciate it. And I do, but I can't. I can't keep everything. I just don't have the room. And I already got a freaking storage unit for my dad's stuff that we're paying for. And so I had to hire, you know, I hired these guys, and they came and did a lot of stuff and got a lot of things. I would say 80% of the house was empty. The last 20% was all the real personal stuff. You know, my father's desks, all of our family pictures, my mom's personal items, just a lot of computers and stuff and wire and all this stuff. And, you know, with this intention that I will be back and I will go through the last 20%, because that's what a good son should do. And the reality is I can't even do it. I called them. I think I shared that we had a water leak and a bunch of water went down the drain. And it was really the last event to help us decide that it's time to put this house up for sale. Houses need to be lived in. You can't just keep them empty. They just crumble away. So it's time to get the last 20% out of there, and I just can't do it. And I had to call the guys, and they finally came out, and they cleaned out the house. And there's this final last pile in the garage. And I went and saw my dad on Saturday. I'm like, the house is clean? He's like, great, right? It's weird, man. Life is a trip, and the journey is a trip. And I, you know, I look at my kids being young, and they have no worries and no fears at my age. At 57, all I seem to think about is the last quarter. Right, I'm past the last half. Even this is the last quarter of my life. Like, this is it, the life. And that's another thing that I could probably do a whole podcast. But, you know, making the most out of this life. Right. One thing I will definitely always be grateful for is the fact that I'm sober. Oh, my goodness. I couldn't imagine carrying around a habit, drugs or alcohol or whatever it is, and trying to scrape together a life. But I don't carry that burden anymore. So I'm like, what is making the most of this life? You know, I've invested money. I've saved money. I'm too afraid to spend it because I want to make it to the end. I don't want to be the guy that dies with a bunch of money. I'd like to enjoy this part of my life where I get to go do a few things that I've always dreamt of or been jealous of other people doing, but still tormented by making it to the end, right? I'll be the guy that lives to 140, right? What? Not going to happen. So, I, you know, as well as I'm doing, as serene as I feel, I'm still, you know, it seems like every facet, every next level of my life, it creates more fear and worry. And, you know, just when I think I've kind of exposed everything that I'm afraid of, something new comes along. And so it's just, I don't know, I'm having a good time, but I'm also still, you know, carrying some rocks, and that's not fun. All right, let's see if we can read the daily reflection. Maybe it'll make me feel better since I talked about it. All right, freedom. Oh, perfect, right? May 18th, freedom to be me. Huh. If we are painstaking about this phase of our development, we will be amazed before we are halfway through. We are going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. That's right. Alcoholics Anonymous, page 83. My first true freedom is the freedom not to have to take a drink today. If I truly want it, I will work the 12 steps, and the happiness of this freedom will come to me through the steps, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. Our freedoms will follow, and inventorying them is a new happiness. I had a new freedom today, the freedom to be me. I have the freedom to be the best me I have ever been. Yeah, well, that's right, you know. If we are painstakingly through the phase of our development, we will be amazed when we are halfway through. We are going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. Is that part of how it works? Maybe. I think so. Yeah. And like I said, you know, all the obvious things that used to be a real problem for me aren't. You know, I'm not lying. I'm not cheating. I'm not stealing. You know, we had a my family, my in-laws come over on Sunday. We either go to their house or they come over to our house, and they came over yesterday, and we made some tacos and hung out with them. And, you know, they're a little older, and my father-in-law, he's a little grumpy, and he can definitely push my buttons, and I can definitely react in a way, or at least in my mind, I think, too, I would like to, but I refrain and try to be, you know, cool with it. He's just, you know, an iron worker. And yesterday, the fucking craziest thing happened. We have one of these trash cans. I don't know if people have these. I've never had one. We got one in this house, but it's one of these drawers that we pull out, and it has two trash cans in it. One's for trash and one's for recycling. And it's on a couple tracks. And of course, when we bought the house, the thing slid out nicely, and you'd push it and have this soft, you know, little thing at the end, so it didn't bang. It was very nice. And, you know, over the last few years, it has become slower. And, you know, we used to put like this roll of trash bags at the bottom, but the weight started making it even struggle more. So, you know, my wife and I both know we got to take care of this. This is fragile. And yesterday it was full. And I thought to myself, take the trash out. It's getting full. I don't want it to be too heavy. Maybe take it out. And I forgot. And then my wife put a bunch of trash in and then just put both hands on top and really pushed down. And I was like, oh, don't do that. And ripped one of the rollers out of the wood and the trash can fell out. And I was like, God damn it. I was pissed. I'm like, I cannot believe that you did that. You know, we talk about that. And my in-laws are there. So they're right there watching us have a fight. It's not even a fight, but, you know, a clear disappointment. I'm annoyed. My wife is annoyed that she probably knew better. And of course, then we're going to have to fix it. So the party's over. We're now into construction mode. And, you know, 10 minutes or so into it, I went outside and I told my wife, I said, listen, we'll get it fixed. We'll get through this. No big deal. Gave her a kiss. I love you. And, you know, went back to fixing this. And of course, you know, with my father-in-law, who was a huge help and very smart with this kind of stuff. And so, my mother-in-law's like, I don't think your wife wants to come back in the house. And I go, why? You're mad at her. I go, I'm not mad at her. I said, I was already outside and told her we'd get through this and it was no big deal. But that's all recovery, right? You know, I could have absolutely, that could have been a fight for 2 days, right? Because we've discussed it. She knew better. But I know, man, in recovery, these kind of things are no big deal, right? We can absolutely get through this. And when my mother-in-law said that, I'm like, I'm not spending the next 2 days fighting about this. You know, it happened. We fixed it. No big deal. You know, I love you, and we'll get through that. But anyway, I hope everyone has a great day. You know, thanks for letting me share. I'm a little nutty right now, and I'm trying to work through it. And so I appreciate you listening. I hope everyone has a great day. I'm off to a meeting. Later.